people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
When the road rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. Boy,
you've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
And hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Community Radio Association networks throughout British Columbia and throughout Canada. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Michael Rubin will be in here just a short moments. We have also on the line Paul Gilbert. Paul Gilbert, are you there?
Yes. Great greetings.
Hi. And how are things in Victoria?
Good. Good. The Disability Caucus is very active in the election, and we're promoting voting by phone and voting on in person at district at returning offices. So people can vote between now and the 9th. So lots of people are doing that.
Well, that's great. And with us on the studios right now is our NDP candidate, Vancouver Quilchina, Madeleine Lalonde. I hope I got that name right. Am I right?
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
All right. So, yes. So good to have us on the show and on the Community Living Show. Tell me about yourself and your background and what do you do?
Well, I'm a recent UBC graduate. I graduated in August with my Bachelor's of Arts in Sociology, mm-hmm. and right now I'm working in IT recruitment and also running to be a member of the Legislative Assembly in Vancouver, Quilchina.
So why do you want to become an MLA?
Well, I just got really fed up with Christy Clark and the BC Liberals. I think what they've been doing to BC has been disgraceful,
right.
As well as the fact that I really think it's time to have young people's voices represented in the legislature.
I've lost my headphones. Okay. All right. I can't even hear Paul. So here we go. Now I can hear. What is the special writing about Vancouver, Quilchina, and the community? What do you like about it? As for myself, I do live in the area.
Yeah.
What I like about the Quilchina area is, the quietness in the area, especially around Dunbar area and the I know it's on the west side. For basically, if you were living on Dunbar Street compared to East 22nd Avenue and Renfrew around there, mm-hmm. that's where I used to live more than like 7 years ago around there. There's a lot of difference on it. And I'm just wondering why you like to Vancouver Quilchina there.
Yeah, well, Vancouver Quilchina was my first love in Vancouver. It's where I lived the entire time I was in university. And it's just, there's a sense of community there, and I feel really connected.
Mm-hmm. And Michael is here. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm okay.
It's a long commute from White Rock, so.
Yeah. And so. I was with the two NDP candidates down there last night.
So, mm-hmm.
Jonathan and Novena. Brain's not fully functioning yet. Sorry.
More coffee.
So we got Paul Gilbert is on the line. So
hi there. Yes.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Vancouver's Quilchina is the richest riding in the province.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that temper how you approach it?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really interesting neighborhood because, like you said, it is the richest in the province, but it also has a lot of students and renters living in basement suites. I need to sit closer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't really change that much how I approach it. People are still feeling priced out of the area. People, more than ever, are feeling like it's unaffordable and they... people are more than ever feeling like it's unaffordable and they need change there.
Well, yes, definitely. Well, one of the major planks that the NDP was emphasizing over the last several months has been poverty reduction.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's really important for students and a number of other people. I know it is for the people with disabilities.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why do you stand for Paul Hogan, who is the leader of the NDP? What kind of reasons do you... What things do you agree on Paul Hogan?
John Horgan.
Horgan.
John.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll see.
It's a
Hulk
Kelly
Hogan,
thing, though.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
John Horgan.
Yeah, I might say Hulk Hogan, but I'm not. It's not Hulk Hogan. So, what do you believe in John Horgan's promises in the NDP?
Yeah, well, I am particularly drawn to John because he's such a real down-to-earth person, and his promises are simple and something that everyone can get behind. You know, we want to make life more affordable for everyone in BC, not just the top 2%. We want to increase services, and we want to create a sustainable economy with good, long-lasting jobs. I think it's easy to support that.
yes. So what other kinds of issues would you like to... fight for in the seat in the legislature? What are the main issues you want to try and do for the legislature?
Yeah. Oh, sorry there. My main issues have always been ones around, you know, students, increasing affordability to post-secondary institutions, as well as mental health is a big one for me, and then accessibility to housing, affordable housing.
Yeah.
So you carried off a lot of social justice issues from your sociology degree.
I'm all about social justice. Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you say about education, because Jonathan last night, he was all about education also, and he brought up something that because I'm a transplant into BC, I didn't know about. That there was actually a province-funded tech school or something like that, that the Liberals, the second they took office, they closed it.
Yeah, that sounds like
Liberals. And I saw in the paper this morning, I don't remember if it was the Sun or the Province. It doesn't matter. They're owned by the same people anyway. Kirstie Clark was standing there with virtual reality glasses on and saying how she's all for tech and training our youth to be in the tech industry, but they closed a tech school.
Yeah, no, I don't believe her for a second. I don't trust her at all. I work in IT recruitment, so I'm talking to technical professionals every day who are taking huge cuts to their rates and, you know, being priced out of the province. You know, you're getting paid less and your costs of living are so much higher. So it's, you know, our best and brightest are moving away. And it's ridiculous that she's saying there that she's investing and she cares about technical people, because it's not true. I see that it's not true.
Well, that's the interesting thing, this election. I thought that maybe I'd get you a comment on that. The NDP seems to be focused more on the processing of resources rather than just sending them away. It's a big issue, this election, with them. How do you see that as something that you're enthusiastic about?
Yeah, I mean, people want to live here. Vancouver, British Columbia in general is a great place to live. I think if people had the option to stay here, they would want to stay here, work here. And to assume that we want to go elsewhere is a little bit ridiculous.
I was going to go on to question number 5, and you mentioned about the Liberals. And our current riding on our local current MLA is Andrew Wilkinson from the Vancouver Colchina. How have Andrew Wilkinson and the BC Liberals have failed Vancouver Colchina and the rest of the province?
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm hearing about Andrew in particular is that people just haven't heard from him in 4 years. Unless they have $200 to go to his, you know, Cash for Access fundraisers, they haven't even gotten a newsletter in 4 years to say, oh, here's what I'm doing. And we're watching, you know, students in 2014 approached him with that climate action petition, and they were just locked out of his constituency office. He's not talking to his constituents, which is a big portion of what your job is.
Right.
He's not doing his job.
I thought it was interesting that Andrew Wilkinson has had a number of careers. I'm sort of surprised that he's running again, given that he's seems to change careers so frequently.
Yeah, well, different ministers, different minister of doing, you know, minister of agriculture, minister of fisheries, those kind of stuff. And Andrew Wilkinson has done some kind of ministry that the people aren't talking about it. And I'm assuming
Here's the thing, right? You talk about ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ministry means to serve people.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I think that the liberals have forgotten, and you can tell me what you think of this, is they've forgotten that they're supposed to serve the people, and the government is supposed to actually protect those people that can't defend themselves against big business. It is supposed to be the leveling around. And it doesn't seem like that's been the case.
Yeah, no, we're seeing them doing the opposite. They're serving the big businesses. They're taking those huge paychecks for them and doing what the businesses want. And it's not fair to everyday British Columbians.
So is the NDP, I was at John Horgan's rally, you know, are you guys really going to stick to that? And, you know, if the special interest money comes up, are you going to say, no, we're supposed to work for the people?
Yeah, absolutely. One of our big promises is that we're going to ban corporate and union donations.
I did hear something interesting yesterday about political donations to the campaigns, that if I donate $200 propose.
Is that a promise? Can I get your check after the show here?
I would give it to Jonathan. He's really in the hole if I had it. But my tax credit return is $150. Therefore, effectively, I've only given away $50, because on the rear end I get $150 back from the tax credits. Is that true?
I would have to do the math breakdown. Okay. I know it's 75% back on $100, and then I think up to $250, it's 50% back. So I can't do the exact math, but
right. I was like, is that something that the NDP is going to continue to support? Because that's if you're rich, well, hell yeah, I'm going to give to a campaign because I'm going to get most of my money back again anyway.
Yeah. But those aren't even the people giving their money away. It's mostly corporations looking for tax breaks. But I think keeping money in average British Columbians' pockets is also really important. And it's, you know, it's not going to be a cornerstone of our platform. And
Paul?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of heat around the idea that an oligarchy is running BC, is controlling the provincial government policies, and they have an undue influence on government, and that's the perceptions that the public has on that are that is actually the case, that these people who have a lot of money can control government and they don't have a voice. Yes, that sounds to be something that's actually been a traditional NDP issue, that they want to make sure that the average person has a voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And this isn't even our first time trying to ban union and corporate donations. This is the sixth time we've presented this bill, so it's been part of us for a while.
Yeah.
So how about all the marginalized people in Vancouver, Kiltuna? How do you the issues around them and their plights to actually be able to eat and to go to school or eat and ride the bus? It's are you reaching out to those people during your campaign as you travel around and greet people?
Yeah, I'm trying my best. I mean, I'm going out and knocking on doors pretty much every day at this point. There is a bit of a, it's hard sometimes to find these people because they are living in basement suites and mm-hmm. you don't want to just wander into people's backyards looking for doors always. But I've established an office, so I'm hoping that in the cases where I can't reach to people there, they feel comfortable coming to me because, you know, I want to represent them for mm-hmm. sure.
I know there's about to be an all candidates meeting later this month.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Interesting. You will actually get, instead of, Christy Clark didn't show up at a recent leadership debate, so I'm sure that, I hope that Andrew Wilkinson will show up for your all candidates meeting.
Oh, yeah, we talked about it. He's going to be there. It's going to be a great night.
That'd be great. All right, so I'm going to take a break for a moment, and Paul, we'll put you on hold for the moment, and we will be back in a moment. You're tuned into the Community Living Show. My name's Kelly, Michael, and Paul, and we've got NDP candidate Vancouver from Vancouver Quilchina, Madeline Lalonde, with us in the studio. So again, we will be back in a moment. You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Saturday, April 15th, a fundraiser for Girls Rock Camp Vancouver is taking place in the Grand Lux Hall of the Western Front, located at 303 East 8th Ave. Tickets are available at Zulu Records, Neptune Records, and both Red Cat Record locations. There will be raffle prizes from Anita Sigma, Nimbus School of Recording, Live Nation, John Fluvog, Tea Leather and Wood, The Juice Truck, Pizzeria Barbarella, CITR, and many more. Doors are at 6, shows at 6:30.
Hold of some pigskin. This is my shimmering life prize. All I must do is create a diversion. What could distract people who love sports? Sports! 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 Sports!
Do you find sports distracting? Feel the need to chant sports for hours on end? Then come on by the CITR station at the new sub to get involved. We do play-by-play, color commentary, audio production, interviews, and so much more. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
All right, you tune in to Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. We are on both our two of our flagship stations. The first one is our full-hour show, CITR 101.9 FM, and streaming online at CITR.ca. And, of course, that's on from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning, Thursday mornings, for our full-hour show. Our second show is on Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, and our streaming there is cooperadio.org. That's all in one word, or known as coopradio.org. And of course, they broadcast Fridays from 2 o'clock to 2:30 p.m. on Fridays. So, and of course, this is all going to be edited for Co-op Radio, and we're just going to give you some of the best questions of all. So, so please bear with us while we try and do our editing and our best we can to answer some of our questions. So anyways, on with the show. We do have a special guest, Vancouver candidate, Vancouver Quilchina, Madeline Lalonde. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me on.
And I'll go on to question number 7, which is, what will the NDP do to protect the rights and livelihoods of persons with disabilities? What will the NDP do with the people with disabilities on that matter?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the, or I guess, hits all the points of our
platform.
Well,
this is what our show is all about, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so we definitely want to invest in services so that everyone has more access, lowering these expensive rates that, like eliminating the MSP, freezing the hydro rates, and, you know, we're looking at Christy Clark and the clawback of your bus pass, and knowing that the disability rates and the IA rates are just not high enough. I know that personally my rent is more expensive than these rates.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ridiculous to assume that people are going to be able to find a place to live on these rates as well as afford food and afford the ability to get around. It's just not enough, and we deserve better.
All right, so we're up into questions. Do you have any?
Michelle Stilwell was complaining bitterly a year ago that she couldn't find a place to rent in Vancouver, in Victoria, for under $1,000 a month. But she's only giving people disability benefits $375 per month. It seems sort of there's a discrepancy there somehow.
Yeah, it's not fair. It just that's what it comes down to. It's not fair.
Madeline? How do you see the? I know it's not something that's that you've got the platform all out there on yet. But how do you see the NDP responding to things like the Green announcement to on how much they increased the rates by yesterday?
Yeah, well, I mean, our entire platform is about affordability, and that's going to be reflected. It's coming out at 9:30 today, so
right.
If only this interview was an hour later.
only we did.
Yeah, but I mean, our
well,
three main...
Well, it is 9:29 and I don't know how many seconds, so yeah. Maybe if we stall another few seconds,
yeah. I'll let Sean Horgan say it first. Yes. I don't want to steal his thunder there. But our entire platform is about, you know, increasing affordability, increasing the services that matter to everyday British Columbians, and creating a sustainable economy with good, long-lasting jobs. And that's going to be reflected in policy points on things like disability.
Yeah. Michael?
As far as housing is concerned, and this is the thing that I hear. I work with a charity that... for fibromyalgia, chronic pain, things like that. Mm-hmm. And how they're telling me that their benefits are coming back to them is they get like $700 a month. So they have a choice of, do I eat this week or do I pay some rent? Or maybe do I get my medication? Which do I do? Because they can't do it all.
That's disgusting. Mm. That's...
is.
Yeah.
I mean... you're talking. All right, some of these people do actually wind up opening small businesses and things like that, so that they provide limited services to the public, so that they can collect more money to help themselves out. Because pain medications are expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's great that the people who can take innovation and create these small businesses are there, but not everyone even has the freedom to be able to do that. So
right.
It should. We should allow everyone to live in British Columbia. I'm pretty big on that. Those aren't livable wages.
So. No.
Besides, with the things like the social determinants of health, education, housing, all those sorts of things that can impact health outcomes, you end up creating, if you give people such little amounts of money to live, to survive on, you're making them sick. You're actually causing their early mortality. That was a big issue at the rally that we had, the Disability Caucus held at the legislature last month, because poverty is something that kills people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And no one should ever have to pick between having a bed to sleep on, taking their medication, or eating a meal.
Yeah.
I just want to dedicate to both our... listeners to our show. We used to have two of our regular hosts that we did the show when we started off in 1991. We would like to do a big shout out to Dave and Lori Smith, or Dave and Lori.
Oh, now you made me forget
those two. Yeah, but I mean,
Dave and Lori, they know
who
we're talking
about.
Yeah, yeah. they've been doing this show for over decades ago, and they're in their seniors now. And I know for a fact that the BC, and at the time when the BC Liberal governments announced about the seniors' care homes and how. The whole story is that both the sad story was that both there was a couple, a senior couples that had a retirement home, but now they, you know, there was a time where BC Liberal governments split the couple or whatever it is and send them to two separate homes, which is very sad, very tragic. And in your representative of BC NDP, what can you do with the BC with the seniors in the facility? What kind of promises?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the BC was built on the backs of our seniors, so we shouldn't be abandoning them at this point in their lives. And it's important to invest in all these services so that everyone has much more access to the things that they need.
Yeah. Because we got now, we're in the Vancouver Quilchina riding, and you do have homes mostly on almost close to their, I mean, homes that are probably people that are closer to 65 or maybe older living around that area. And I'm just wondering about the area where Vancouver Quilchina is right now.
Yes, I imagine there's senior centers in that community.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are.
The privatization is an issue that seems to be coming up in this election quite a bit. It affects seniors, it affects schools, it affects a lot of public services that are traditional. What are your thoughts on privatization of public services?
I mean, it's important that everyone has access, and if you're putting a price saying that it's more important for someone who has more money to be able to reach this service, it's not fair. You don't. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What about monitoring the services that are, for instance, in the seniors' homes, the ones that are more accessible to the general public, especially. Somebody's grandmother waits 2 weeks for a shower. That's a case where there needs to be more monitoring to make sure that people are actually getting the services that they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, most senior care facilities are way understaffed, and all I can do is think of my grandma. If someone wasn't taking care of her, I can't imagine hearing that my grandma couldn't shower for 2 weeks. It makes me so sad.
That's a byproduct of privatizing your public good. It's always more expensive, and so the government doesn't want to pay the rate after they've allowed privatization. And the WSI5 did a number of investigations over the last few years on seniors care and how sexual and physical abuse of seniors from resident on resident abuse and from strangers and from staff and neglect and isolation are really big issues in seniors care.
Right.
It's something that the NDP really needs to challenge, I think. Mm. Somebody needs to challenge, because seniors, they deserve to be treated with respect and have a life of dignity.
Yeah, they deserve the best. I'm here because, you know, I have a grandma, and she decided to have my mom, who decided to have me. Right.
It's all part of your family, anyways.
Yeah.
In all honesty, it's actually it would actually be my mother. My mom is 80 years old. She's the one that's needing the care and things like that, and she's the one who also that hot plate of food that was set in front of me every night was due to the fact that she went out and helped the elderly, you know, care for the elderly. So it's like, you know, because that was something that she believed in, and gratefully, as she was an activist towards that, that she was able to make a living out of it too. So grateful for that.
And my mother,
there's making a living, and then there's outright profiting from it. And the NDP, it sounds like from what I've heard from John, I've heard it from you now. I always knew. I've known Jenny Sims for years. We've been friends.
Yeah.
And they're all saying this, saying the same thing. Even Mabel said it the other day at the rally that yeah, it's something that it's the difference between making a living out of it because you're helping people and outright profiting. So, and it sounds like you guys want to monitor to make sure that there's no outright profiting from where there would be lack of services.
Yeah, we definitely need to look at the way that these senior care facilities are run, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the NDP is historically, I mean, your party's been very focused on taking things out of the marketplace that need to be out of the marketplace. Like Medicare, I mean, the creation of Medicare was a historic moment in Canada, I mean, mm-hmm. a historic period. That do you see any other areas that you need to protect things from being pushed into the marketplace rather than kept as a public service?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now we need to focus on getting things like ICBC rates, BC Hydro rates, things like that into control before we look at the rest of the corporations out there.
Yeah. Well, we're on the BC Hydro, the Site C.
Site C dam. Hmm.
Yeah, well, we definitely think that it needs to be reviewed by the proper sources before we can make any decisions on going forward or stopping it.
Yeah, that's right.
What's supposed to happen. We're just supposed to follow the rules. It shouldn't be a huge platform point that we want to follow the rules.
Mm. Right.
It's become the BC Liberals are skirting the law.
Yeah.
No surprise.
Yeah, so.
But I still sense of the fear of, with the construction of Site C Dam, meaning we're destroying our environment. We're destroying all of our trees surrounding before the dam has already built. And we see that, you know, once the Site C Dam is built, many of those trees will be flooded with water. All the the respiration of animals that were there is all going to be, you know, killed off because of it. And it's very sad to see some of the environment defecating on this issue on Site C Dam. What are your takes on that?
Yeah, I mean, we're very committed to investing in creating forestry jobs, so that's something we can't do if we're getting rid of all our trees. Just, you know, I'm not an expert on this, and I'm really happy to leave the decision to the experts.
Okay. Well, it makes me go over to question 8 for... So why is the time that the NDP MLA represents Vancouver Quilchena?
Well, because I would actually be representing the constituents. I'd be talking to them. I wouldn't just be, you know, waiting once a year for my $200 plate dinners where, you know, my big supporters can pay in and have more access to me. I want to be working for them every single day.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Paul, Michael, do you have any questions on that?
Well, you know, what I think is kind of funny, because last night was a bit of a fundraiser for Jonathan because he made a decision in order to get the message out that he wants people to know that he's running for office and the NDP message to get it into the area because he doesn't have a lot of money. He made the decision to funnel the money that he's collecting in, not into a big fancy office, but into just get the message out because rents are so high.
Yeah.
Rent on an office is really high, you know. Some of you, like you and Jenny, the supporters are the ones paying for that office. You know. That's not a slam in any way sensitive of it is that you have enough supporters to help you get that office. He's still trying to build up his supporters.
Our office was very, very cheap. It was very surprisingly cheap for the area. We just went in and really lowballed them, said, you know what, we want to be here for 2 months. Your place has been empty for 3 months. Maybe make a little election. That's the only reason that we're able to have an office, and we're very thankful for it because it's so helpful having that presence. We have people walk in every day asking, you know, can I get a sign? How do I help out? Tell me about your policies. I think I might be ready to vote NDP for the first time ever, things like that. So if you can have it, it's so valuable. But, yeah, we we don't have big money here in Kelchenna either. And what we're trying to do is have small events where, you know, people can access them. We're doing things like, we have a Super Smash Brothers tournament this weekend, and it's either $20 buy-in or give us 2 hours of your time volunteering.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Owned by a small business, mm-hmm. Mom and Pop coffee shop. And it's not a $200 plate supper. Mm. It's a coffee shop. Here, like, I have some volunteer entertainment. They're gonna say some poetry and sing a couple of psalms, and we're all like, it was like a kumbaya session.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I've been to the $200 plate suppers,
mm-hmm. right?
And I'll just say it was an Autogrove.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We won't mention any real names.
Well, no.
But it seemed like there was no sense of camaraderie either.
Yeah.
It seems like you guys want to build community.
Yeah, well, so much of my story of why I've gotten involved with the BCNDP and the NDP is based on relationships and the relationships I built within the UBCNDP club and always being asked and empowered to do more. So when I was looking about what I wanted to do in this election campaign, to me, I wanted to build a sense of community and relationships.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple of yes or no questions.
Oh, no.
Okay. If you're elected to Vancouver, Cochina, is that right?
Cochina.
Is like, will your door be available to the constituents so that they can come and ask you important questions?
Oh, these are easy yes or no questions. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. And will you go to Victoria on the important dates to actually fight for the Vancouver Colchina constituents in government?
Yeah. Will you do your job? Yes, I will do my job if elected.
Oh, you thought I was going to say something hard, didn't you?
Paul, do you have anything on it?
I'm wondering what if Madeline's heard any what sort of things she's getting from the constituents of Vancouver, Kelchenna. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's the same sort of thing. Many NDP, many constituencies are talking to their mm-hmm. their respective MLAs about. What sort of things are you hearing about people's concerns this election?
Yeah, I think a big concern in Kelchenna is honestly that they don't feel like Andrew Wilkinson is doing his job. They haven't heard from him in 4 years, and they're fed up. They want someone who's going to go and represent their interests in Victoria. And if he's not talking to his constituents, he's not representing their views. And then they also, a big one in Kelchenna is getting the big money out of politics. They want their interests represented, not corporations' interests.
All right. So on that note, I want to take a break now. Paul, please stand by. We'll be with you after the break and stuff. So, of course, you'll hear us off the air anyway. So we will get back to you when we come back. You're tuning in to Community Living Show. My name's Kelly, along with Michael and Paul. And we've got Vancouver candidate for NDP Vancouver Kulchina, Madeline Lalonde. So we will be back in a moment.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
That is a sigh of relief, because Fund Drive 2017 is officially over. To everyone who donated their time, energy, money, forgot to donate now but will donate online at citr.ca, couldn't donate this year but will donate in the future, and to our community as a whole, CITR and Discorder want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just like thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for trusting us with your money, and we promise to make good use of it.
Muchas gracias. Gracias, gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Merci, genre infiniment.
Thank you, everybody. That was great.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, so we're back on the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. Both of our stations, Co-op Radio, CFRO, and CITR. And our guest is Madeline Lalonde. She's the NDP candidate for Vancouver Quilchina. I'm, of course, Kelly, along with Michael and Paul. You have a question for Madeline?
Well, I'm actually, I just sort of moved on to another question in my head.
Okay.
One of the things that's very important to a lot of people out there in municipal or provincial or federal elections is the independence of their MLA. How do you see yourself in fitting into the NDP caucus? How do you see yourself doing that as a person who's oriented more towards the representing the principles you came to the legislature with, the issue of team versus your independent values? How do you see yourself on that sort of spectrum?
Well, I think the important thing to mention here and answer here is that, you know, my values aren't super independent from the NDP. I joined the NDP and decided to run for the NDP because our values were so aligned.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's... go ahead.
No, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, there actually is a movement to a large extent in a lot of social democratic parties towards moving the issues farther to the left, to the traditional NDP, the beginnings of the NDP. How do you see that as an issue with you and the NDP or is that an issue that the NDP is thinking about these days in BC?
I mean, the NDP, their values and their platforms are created by their people. So we have bi-yearly, and when in government, we're planning to have yearly conventions where we look at our policies and ideas and we can vote on changing them and things like that. And since we are such a democratic party, it's not something that I worry about because there's always time to bring these issues to the forefront.
I want to ask you one question on another question. When you go out and knock on doors on Quilchina, what are the people saying about what you want to do on this election?
Yeah, I think I'm hearing that a lot of people are really sick of Christy Clark. I'm hearing people ready to vote NDP, maybe for the first time ever, maybe for the 50th time.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, they just want to feel represented, and that's not what they're feeling right now.
Right. Michael?
Let's get back to the really basic idea of democracy, though.
Mm-hmm.
The vote.
Okay.
Christy Clark made a statement about that the average person doesn't go out and vote anyway, so she's really not – it's one of her I don't care statements, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And – it was kind of put into the paper that way also.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's going to help you to get all those people that she says won't go out and vote anyway? If you just get those people to go out and vote for you, is that going to be enough to get you in?
You know what? I think dialogues like that are so alienating. The reason people aren't voting is either because there's some barrier that's been put up.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of our voting rules have changed this time around to make it harder to vote, or they're not feeling like their views are being represented in a platform. And our goal, John Horgan, the BC NDP, is to have a platform that is something for every British Columbian. And I think just based on the platform alone, people will be excited and inspired to vote.
So you're saying that just by the platform itself, because it's going to be so inviting that people are just going to want to come out and say, hey, I believe something here.
Yeah, I mean, we need to talk to people still. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I think, you know, everyone talks. A big thing that I've heard through my university career is young people don't vote. Well, young people aren't voting because you're not reaching out to them through your platform. And it's something that John Horgan is doing this time.
Yeah. Last election, only 52% of registered voters voted, and that's most people aren't registered voters. But the marginalized communities don't tend to vote very often because they don't feel that they're included in a platform that the parties have focused on.
Yeah, absolutely, and you can't blame people for that. And that's why we're trying to have a platform that is inclusive.
From now, between now and the election, people can vote Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 to 4, at any election office. Many people don't know that. And people with disabilities as well can vote by calling Elections BC between the April 19th and May 8th from noon to 6 and between Monday to Friday and noon to 4 on Election Day. It's 1-800-661-8683.
Okay.
Because a lot of people with disabilities don't know they can vote by phone.
Okay, so the number again is?
1-800-661-8683.
Okay.
It's Elections BC.
All right. Thanks for pointing that out, Paul. I was going to go on to question. I'm going to do it a little differently because normally I just list the numbers for number 9 and 10, but I'm going to do number 10 first and then number 9. Question 10. So what do you accomplish by running as an MLA for Vancouver MLA in Colchina?
I want to bring voices to the forefront. It's really important for me that everyone feels represented, especially young people, since I think they've been particularly alienated and other marginalized groups.
Okay. Michael, do you have anything added to it?
I have to say that I'm going to make this a statement on question because I am one of those marginalized groups.
Yeah. Okay.
John Horgan, I think he's doing a really great job at this, and all those who feel marginalized is like, take a look at what he's saying and be prepared to vote May 19th.
Vote now because you can. Just go to your electoral district office, vote now, and then volunteer on election day.
Okay. Anyways.
Make sure you don't miss it.
Paul?
Yes, I've been bothering people quite a bit about voting. We're paying for a promotion on the fact that people can vote now and by phone. Because it's important that people actually, a lot of people with disabilities have trouble getting to the polls.
Absolutely.
And seniors as well. I mean, a lot of seniors don't consider themselves disabled, even though they have trouble walking. But I've always thought of seniors with barriers are disabled. And reaching out to them, they tend to vote, and they want to vote, usually.
Yeah.
So it's important that they have opportunities.
I'm also going to say this, though, because those who have to bounce from job to job to job in order to make ends meet, it's like, bounce on election day, bounce to job to job, oh, wait, where do I stop to vote?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because you have to keep going in order, and your employer may not be understanding that, hey, I wanted to exercise my democratic right to vote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are legally entitled to 3 hours off of work to vote, but, you know, if you're in precarious work, you might feel that you might be fired. It might be a fear that's in the back of your head, even though it is illegal to be fired for voting.
See that one more time. I want to make sure that people that are in precarious work like that understand that they cannot be fired for exercising their right to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. You cannot be fired.
Yeah, but what's are you finding that the issue of precarious work is something that's coming up in your writing? It's a big issue across BC because most jobs that are being created now are precarious.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge issue in my writing. It's just finding the right people to talk about it. And like I said before, so many people are living in these basement suites and in apartments as renters, and those are the people that are taking on these precarious jobs.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that leads me to question 9. What are you going to do to make sure that the Quilchina people, Vancouver Quilchina, feel to be prepared for the change on May 9th? What kind of things you like to see?
I'm just going to keep talking to them. I mean, I go door knocking as often as possible. I'm trying to hold events at least every Saturday. We're going to try and ramp it up even more as we get closer to the election. And again, like I said, affordable or even free events that are just building community and talking about the issues in a safe space. And that's so much of what an election is. We go door knocking because it works.
Michael? Do you have anything?
I agree. Door knocking does work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I almost when I hit you with the question because... so, what are you going to say the day you win?
I'm just focusing on getting John Horgan elected.
Yes.
I mean when the NDP wins. The NDP wins. They're going to win the whole government. They're going to do it, right?
Yeah. 87 seats. We're going to have 87 seats. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will be so happy. And it's even going to the other side, if we just can't lose at this point. Like, BC loses if we lose.
Mm. Paul?
I've seen elections like that in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. The first election of the CCF in Saskatchewan was like that,
mm-hmm.
a landslide. Mm. It's very nice to have that sort of thing. Do you think the policies will evolve while the NDP is in government so that the platform that you're talking about is not going to be the complete picture? But the issues around people with disabilities are very complex, and they've been marginalized for a long time. Do you see the NDP developing that focus on addressing the needs of people with disabilities? I mean, in BC, we're between 15% and 20% of the population.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's so important. And one of the first things we're going to do is bring back the Human Rights Commission to make sure that everyone is being treated equally and not discriminated against.
Do you have any closing thoughts? Madeline.
Oh, me. Sorry.
Yeah,
just make sure that you go out and vote before May 9th or at least on May 9th. And this is going to be a really important election where every single vote is going to count because I think it's going to be close.
All right. Mm-hmm. And information, how they get to contact you and everything.
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook. My Facebook URL is Facebook / Madeline Lalonde, BCNDP. Mm-hmm. And then my everything else is Maddie Lalonde, which is MADILALONDE. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. We're on Snapchat. It's going to be exciting. Yeah.
Well, I know your office is going to be, I was trying to go there yesterday to help out, but I guess you were pretty busy this week with lots of campaigns and stuff. So are you going to make me a promise that you're going to open the office doors next week?
Oh, so our office doors have been open this week. We've just had reduced office hours since me and my campaign manager have been out a lot doing interviews and press and door knocking. But we are located at 6107 West Boulevard, and our office hours are going to be 12 till 2 p.m. and then again from 4 till 7 p.m. And you can always reach us by phone at 604-568-6234. And fun fact, 6234 is Maddie.
Nice. Wow.
Her lovely campaign manager who's been sitting here with her iPhone posting on social media the whole time.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, this is something for your campaign manager to answer.
I don't think she wants to be on the mic. I'll try and transcribe for her.
You have to transcribe for her. The way I see this election going, though, because the Liberals do have control over mass media,
mm-hmm.
it's going to come down to like Kelly and I do in independent media and social media, which is something that they aren't really touching.
Yeah, we're having so much fun on social media right now. We're posting GIFs and memes and just talking about everything that's wrong. gotta embrace being the young candidate, right?
Do you have any final thoughts, Paul?
Yes, well, I agree that social media is really critical right now because it allows people who are on the margins to actually have a voice. If people want to participate in the Disability Caucus discussions, they go to facebook.com, BC Disability, to fund the BC Disability Caucus. So those are we welcome people to come and continue the conversations about these issues.
Yes. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation. Thank you very much, Paul. And you got probably a busy day in Victoria over there and everything. So thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you.
And we'll talk again soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. See you, Paul.
See ya.
All right. So that was Paul there. And thank you. This was fun.
Yeah.
Was
thanks fun so one. Much for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. So you guys are a fun time. I hope I'm not laughing too much in all the
This is great. This is great.
It's okay if you laugh all the way to victory. It's all right.
Absolutely. Yes. So thank you very much, Madeline Lalonde, and the information and stuff. We got a show next week. Do you have
We do have a show next week. I can't remember if it's Robin Tack or
one of the specialists you mentioned,
or if it's a specialist from, I think it's the psychologist and relationship specialist from LA.
Okay,
is who it is. And I will post her information up on Facebook. Right. I can't remember her name right off right now.
And then then the week after that, we got Ben Renpre doing the musical guest as well. So
yeah.
So we're just making sure that we have everything all that.
Where's
in order.
Next week the musical guest?
That's 2 weeks from now.
Is it 2 weeks from
Yeah.
Now?
Okay. So yeah. I'm hoping Ben makes his promise on it, but you never know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. Thank you very much. Thank you to Madeline, our candidate for Vancouver Colchina. That is it for our show. Please stay tuned for upcoming shows there on the NCRA Radio Networks, and we'll be back again next week. Thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
And all the clubs you get and use in my name. Oh, you think you broke my heart, oh boy, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own, well I ain't. And I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care, I don't. But you still hit my phone up. And baby, I've been moving on, and I think you should be something that I don't want to hold back. Baby, you should know. You and not with them. And when you told me that my opinion was wrong, and you tried to make me forget where I came from, and I didn't want to write a song because I didn't want anyone thinking I still care, I don't. But you still hit my phone up. And baby, I've been moving on, and I think that you should. It's something I don't want to hold back. Baby, you should know. I'm better.
I feel nothing at all. And I never felt so low when I was vulnerable. Was I a fool to let you break?
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam